All right, I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' name. Again, I want to remember Sister Connie and Shirley. Let's pray for them. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We just ask your blessing upon all that we do or say. Help us, Lord, be worthy of you, Father. Lord, begin to thank you. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom. Help us be faithful to you, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, let's open our Bible this morning to Genesis chapter 4. Verse 1 says, Now Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man through God. Then she bare again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a shepherd of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now in the process of time, Cain brought a sacrifice to the Lord from the fruits of the ground. Abel also brought a sacrifice from the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. The Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his sacrifices. So Cain was extremely sorrowful, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, Why are you extremely sorrowful, and why has your countenance fallen? Did you not sin, even though you brought it rightly? But did not divide it rightly? Be still. His recourse shall be with you, and you shall rule over him. Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Then God said to Cain, Where is Abel your brother? He replied, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Thus God said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you will be cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. You will be groaning and trembling on the earth. Then Cain said to the Lord, My guilt is too great to be forgiven. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be groaning and trembling on the earth. Then it will happen, if anyone finds me, he will kill me. So the Lord God said to him, Not so. Whoever kills Cain's vengeance shall be upon him sevenfold. Thus the Lord set a sign on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, opposite Eden. This morning I want to talk about Cain, the spirit of Cain, and the spirit of Abel. And basically, it's the spirit of the world or the spirit of the faithful. Whenever we look at Cain, we see that he, you know, I'm not going to get too much into what his sacrifice and why his sacrifice was rejected. Some people think that it was just because it wasn't a blood sacrifice, and maybe that is part of the reason it was rejected, but it was more his attitude that God was rejecting, and that's his attitude drove him further and further away from God. he offered a sacrifice and it wasn't accepted. Whatever the reason, he was offered an opportunity to make it right. In the King James Bible, it makes it clear. It says, I've set before you good and evil. Or I've, it's in your hands, basically, he said, to do right or wrong here. You have the choice to... He said, sin lies at the door. And so he warned him and told him that he was headed down a wrong path. The offering that Abel offered was one of blood. Maybe it was because Abel recognized the level or the spiritual realm that it was going to take a blood sacrifice to... for Christ to set us free. And Abel just wasn't that much in tune, so he missed it. But God gave him chance after chance after chance. And all through the end, if we just look at God in all of this, opportunity. God is always right there trying to offer Cain a way out all the way through. We don't see God all mad at him and say, I'm done with you. But that's what we see Cain saying to himself. It wasn't God that was saying, I'm done with you. You're so guilty. You're so bad. I can't have anything to do with you. Cain was saying these things to himself. Whenever he said, my guilt is so great, or my sorrow is so great, God was offering him opportunity. Well, fix it. He would rather have wallowed around in a big old pool of self-pity than to actually fix the problem. There's a picture here for all of us. You know, sometimes we're so scared because we fail. And so we begin to feel guilt in ourselves, and that guilt begins to magnify and grow, and it causes all kinds of problems in our lives. And instead of just fixing it, we try to put on this big sorrow show or this big penance show to show that we, how guilty we are. Oh, I'm so guilty. I'm so bad. I'm so guilty. There's no way I can be forgiven. That's the things Cain was saying to himself. These are things that grow in failure. These are things that grow in sin. But yet when we see God, that's not what He's doing. He's not adding and heaping on guilt and shame to what you've done wrong. He's offering you a way out. Opportunity to fix it. Cain chose this path, and it's almost like he was a victim. He became a victim instead of a victor. That's the path that we have set before us, and whenever we see the opportunities that God is offering, and we would rather wallow in self-pity or wallow in self-abasement or debasement, whatever you want to, however you want to call it. You get the idea. If you would rather wallow around and just belittling yourself and saying what a failure you are and just crying, say, oh, God can never forgive me. God is standing there already forgiving you. Already to offer you the opportunity to return to the way that you're supposed to be. But I can't do that. I can't do that. I'm too bad. I've gone too far. There's no hope for me. And we see this path that Abel and Cain, or that Cain has chosen. And his guilt becomes so bad that he takes a walk with his brother and he begins to hate his brother. He loathes him because he's done right. And his own envy drives him to rise up against him and slay him. Sin lays at the door. The way we start down that door is not to trust God. We begin to trust our own situations, our own ways, our own guilt, our own fear, or whatever, instead of trusting God. We would think, well, I would never slay my brother. But you know, we don't have to reach that depth to be of the same kindred and the same spirit that Cain had. You know, our lives, our situation may be completely different than that. May be a whole different thing that's happening in our lives that we begin to think that maybe I'm rejected. Maybe I'm not what I ought to be. Maybe people are just picking on me. Maybe everything doesn't go right with me. You know, we see in the Bible that Jacob, he had the 12 sons. And in the one, he gave a coat of many colors to. He gave, I'm not right with the words there. Jacob. And he made the coat that was special, and he gave it to the one boy. And what the other 11 do? Boy, it just aided them. To the point where they were willing to kill him. That's what envy does. I didn't get treated fair. The one was special. He was set up as special. And the others looked at that and just, instead of just doing what they were supposed to do, they became envious and they let that sin at the door just gnaw at them till they took the boy out and sold him and then told their dad that he was killed by a wild beast. And let the father believe that. Maybe trying to punish the father just a little bit. Because they didn't like the way he was treating another one that's special. There's all kinds of examples in the Bible where some person had it good and some person had it bad. We see Joseph later on. All the things he went through, everything that he did almost, he tried to do right, and out of the blue, some strange circumstance put him in jail, put him in prison, got out. And then some other circumstance put him back, an innocent man. Had an opportunity. The butler promised to get him out. And then he forgot about him for another year or two in prison. What kind of attitude did he have? You don't see him murmuring or complaining about his situation. He rose above it. And God blessed him over and over and over again for it. You see, if things go wrong for you, all that is an opportunity for God that you can bring glory and honor to God. But whenever we're in the natural realm, you know what it does? It makes us bitter. We just get angry. We're just upset. I'm being mistreated. They're too hard on me. Dad's too hard on me. Mom's too hard on me. The boss is too hard on me. Everybody at work has got it in for me. You have a choice. You can say, "Praise the Lord," and have peace and joy in your heart. Whatever you have to go through, come out with a smile. Or if sin lies at the door, you can just let that gnaw at you and chew on you. You can just let that fester, and you can just nurse your little hurt, pamper it, make it stronger and stronger. And it'll grow and grow and grow. And you've been wronged. You have a legitimate complaint that someone has done you wrong. Nope. We have the examples all through the Bible. Sometimes the fathers have their favorites. Sometimes they have a son that they just really are behind, and he just doesn't hardly ever do anything wrong. You got one that just seems to get the brunt of every little thing that goes wrong. He gets blamed. You know, the one that God is looking at, we can see this concern for Cain. We can see God's concern for Cain here. Oh, he was glad for Abel. He accepted his sacrifice and it was just fine. But Cain was the one that was given the opportunity to shine here. Abel was blessed. You got the blessing. But you see this here in verse. Did you not sin even though you brought it rightly, but did not divide it rightly? That kind of tells me that it wasn't that he brought, but he didn't divide it rightly. He didn't give it rightly. He didn't do something right about it. He just maybe had the wrong attitude about it. Even though you brought it rightly, but did not divide it rightly. Be still. His recourse shall be to you. And you shall rule over him. This was God laying it at his feet. I'm going to give you the opportunity to rise up and even be higher than he is. Yeah, there was a little shame here. Yeah, you got rebuked a little bit. Yeah, you got put down. Yeah, you got put in your place. But I'm giving you the opportunity to rise above it. I'm giving you the opportunity. You can be way up here. That doesn't mean your whole life's going to just coast along and everyone's going to just hold you up. But God is going to see how you respond to all of this. And yeah, you may be forced into all kinds of trials and situations that you don't like. But God is looking at how you're going to respond to it. Are you going to be able to do it? Not to rise up and be above Him? Not to rise up and be better to your enemy? But to be able to be a blessing to God. Everyone around you, even though you were wronged. The opportunity lies right at the door of your heart. You have the opportunity to let God bless your life. You see, we look at the lives of people and, oh, their life's a blessing. Everything just goes through hell. Everything's going great for them. And so we kind of envy that. They've got it easy. We kind of envy. We see somebody in another family, oh boy, they've got it good. Or some other situation, but oh, they've got it made. And we envy that. And you just get knocked around, get hard times, and just everybody gives you trouble and belittled, criticized. The opportunity is yours. You know, we've heard everybody's looking for the perfect church. And I've said this before. The perfect church is not made up of perfect people. God's not looking for robots. The church is full of people from here to there, up and down. Attitude sometimes, arrogance sometimes, know-it-all sometimes, dummies sometimes. The perfect church knows how to love people where they're at. Sometimes we get mistreated in a perfect church. Sometimes there's people that are just plain old bossy and bullheaded in a perfect church. What? How can that be in a perfect church? God allows some of those things. Maybe just for you. Maybe He allows those things in a perfect church. Maybe God is just letting that person go through something so that you get to go through something and you get the opportunity to be a blessing. You see, what it comes down to is, do you trust God or not? You know, it's so easy for us to dress right, talk right, say the right things, say, I believe this, I believe that. I believe what the Bible teaches. I believe the New Testament church. I believe Jesus. But do we trust Him? You know, there's got to be a time in our lives where there's a change. We don't put much emphasis on the experience. But there's still got to be a time in your life where you change masters. Oh yeah, well, I need to be baptized, so I'm just going to get baptized. Now I'm part of the church. Well, you can be baptized every day and not have any faith in God. You can do all kinds of things and not trust God. See, basically, that's what this is all about. Cain and Abel. Cain didn't trust God. He was trying to fix his circumstance. All the way through here. Well, God, they'll kill me if they see me. Just a victim. A whining, sniveling victim. That's what's going on in the world today. Everybody's a victim. Well, you owe me this. You owe me that. I'm going to burn it down because you owe me. You'll never appease a victim. They've got to find that peace themselves. Nothing you can do to fix a victim. The victim has to change themselves. And we have that same tendency among us to have that little idea of, I'm a victim. People are picking on me. Everybody's mean to me. Dad's mean to me. Mom always does, she's just out for me. Whine, whine, whine. You have the choice to overcome that. You could be bigger than all of that because you trust the Lord. You don't have to get it over them. You can love them. Thank God for people that are not putting you on a pedestal. You can be better. Whatever situation comes in our lives, we have the opportunity for panic or peace. Panic or peace. No. Most of the time, something comes up and we start thinking down the road of all the steps or all the places that could go. And we wind up in our mind, we just have created a mountain that's, I can't overcome. It's just too big for me. And it is nothing. Look at the reality of our situation. Stop and just look at the reality of the situation. Is this happening to me now? No. I don't know how it's all going to turn out. We need to live right now that God is in control of right now. And be at peace. You know, we don't see a lot of Abel here. Why? Because he's just resting through all of this. He's at peace. He even gets killed. But he's at peace. Cain gets to live. But he's running the rest of his life in fear. Abel got killed. But he did it in peace. All the situations in our life, who you are, is in God's hands. The place you are is in God's hands. The situations that you're in is in God's hands. The way you look is in God's hands. The family you were born into was in God's hands. God put you right where He wants you. Oh, it might not be the best situation. But I'll guarantee you I can give you 99% worse situations that you could have been put into. You've got it made. If you will rest and trust in God. It's some of the things that young people go through out in the world are all unspeakable that they have to go through in the situations they're in. And they can still trust God, some of them, in it, to get them through it. we can trust the Lord. He put you where you are. He knows the situation you're in. And He don't want you whining and crying about it. He wants you to trust Him in it. The song that we sang today, that God's way is best. God's way is best. If human wisdom a fairer way may seem to show, 'tis only that our earth-dimmed vision the truth can never clearly know. Had I the choosing of my pathway, in blindness I should go astray and wander far away in darkness, nor reach the land of endless day. If you have the choice of your way, you'll wind out there with Cain wandering around. Nothing will grow. Everybody you meet wants to kill you. Because you've chosen your path. God's way is so much higher than ours. He leadeth true. I will not question. Though through the valley I shall go. That sounds all noble. And yet we have our little valleys where we're mistreated. And boy, do we whine and moan about it. He leadeth true. I will not question. Though I should pass through clouds of trial and drink the cup of human woe, Thy way is best, so lead me onward. My all I give to Thy control. Thy loving hand will truly guide me and safe to glory bring my soul. God's way is best. I will not murmur. Although the end I may not see, where He leads, I'll meekly follow. God's way is best for me. Faith is when we're trusting in the Lord. It's not a decree. It's not a bunch of doctrine. You can have all of that to the core and still not trust the Lord. May the Lord add His blessings.
There is a storm. can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross with me. Follow.
Where he leads.